I'm Dara.
And I'm Taylor.
Welcome to the Overall Thoughts Podcast,
where we talk all things photography, entrepreneurship, and life. Today's episode is all about how to structure a session, and we're going to be talking through how to create a positive environment leading up to your client's session and how to keep that positive environment and positive energy flowing throughout the session so that everybody has a good time. Before we do that, though, we're going to do a couple quick life updates and then we'll hop on in. So, Dara, what's been going on with you?
Well, since our last episode, I got back from Florida and it was so nice to be down there. I enjoyed just like soaking up the sun. I didn't get like terribly burnt, which I like normally get really burnt at least once because I'm a very pale girl and I just feel like the sun always gets me. But luckily this time it wasn't too bad. I got like really dry skin, but otherwise that was about it. So it was a pretty good vacation.
Well, that's always a win. If you come home not sunburned, that is a win.
Exactly. And hopefully I'm ready for like the nice sunny weather that we're having here.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I opened up my senior calendar yesterday, and which would be this Monday to those of you listening tomorrow. And that was like pretty fun and exciting, knowing like what my summer calendar is going to look like and everything too. And then we took like down the wallpaper in our bedroom. And other than that, I don't know. I feel like not a whole lot's happened. But that's like a good concise life update for you guys this week.
Yeah, no, that is a lot. Getting home from a trip is always like a lot with needing to decompress afterwards and unpack if you're someone that unpacks right away and mm-hmm. does all your laundry right away, or if you push it off and just don't look at it for a few days. But that is so fun. That's nice to have a chill week after getting home from a vacation.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I feel like normally it takes me like a day or two to unpack, but I got right on it this time because I'm actually leaving for a trip on Saturday.
Oh my gosh. Ones,
I was like, I need to be unpacked. I'm going to Colorado. So if anybody wants to take pictures with me while I'm in Colorado, reach out. But
oh, how fun.
Yeah, I was like, I need to pack because this is like a polar opposite vacation and I need my suitcase clear so that way and like everything organized. So that way when I go to pack for my next vacation, I'm not like, I don't know, like all over the place.
Yeah, you need a fresh, clean slate.
Yes. But tell me what's been happening in your life.
Well, the same with you. Not too much since the last episode. Over the past weekend, I had my longest long run of marathon training so far, which was 16 miles, and ooh, it actually went really good, which I was really surprised with. Like before I started training and I was looking at that mileage, like the 16 and 18 and all of those like long mileages, I was so nervous going into it being like, yeah, there's no way I can do that or I'm doing that. And then before, like the whole week leading up to the 16-mile run, I never once was like, oh, I'm nervous for this run. I'm anxious for this run. I don't think I can do it. I'm scared. I never had any thoughts like that, which was so surprising to me. And I feel like that in itself is a win because I just never thought I'd be able to think like that.
Yeah, and I feel like honestly having a good mindset makes everything easier.
Definitely, yeah. I was in a really good mood going into it since I wasn't so anxious about it. Yeah, it was really good. And once I finished it, I felt like I could have still just kept on running, which was really good to know also. But now I'm like, I kind of don't want to do any more long runs until the marathon, but it'll all be good. It drops back down this weekend for my long run. And then the weekend after that, the mileage will go back up. And I think I have an 18-mile run for that one, which I'm a little nervous about, but I'm like, I could have done the 18 this past weekend, so I can do it in a couple weeks.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I believe in you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So that is the marathon training update. And then I hosted two of my best friends on Saturday night, which was so fun. We had a little girls' night and went out to dinner and did some wine tasting and then came back to my house and just hung out. And it was so nice and refreshing. I feel like I'm always just like revitalized after seeing my friends. Aww. So it was really, really nice.
That is so sweet. I love that for you.
Yeah, thanks. But that is really all that's been going on with me. So not too much, but the few things are happy things.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah. So I think we can jump on into the topic of today's episode, how to structure a session. And we are going to start off talking about when a client knows that they for sure want to book you and talk through choosing a date all the way up to through the session day. So Let's start by chatting about how the couple or senior or whoever your client is, how they can choose a date that will be best for them instead of just being like, oh yeah, like we have this Tuesday available, let's do that, like putting no thought into it. So Dara, how do you recommend that you help your clients pick a date that will be great for them?
Yeah, so honestly, like over the past few years, I feel like I've gone through many different ways of doing this. And the way that I'm doing it like this year and even last year, how I did it, I feel like is the most efficient use of my time. And I don't know, I feel like typically people are happy with like what date they end up choosing because of it. So I guess to like give background on what I originally started doing when I was like scheduling people and stuff and getting my calendar already is, which I guess this is perfect with me releasing my calendar literally yesterday, but I used to do little like Canva calendars, and I would post a picture of the calendar with dots on it for my available dates. And I think that worked pretty well. Like if I still wanted to manually like schedule the session and not have somebody like fill it out like a calendar thing and stuff, I think I probably still would do it this way, but I just wanted something that was a little bit more systematized. I feel like I said that totally wrong, so don't come at me for that one. But now what I do is I use Squarespace scheduling. So I send over a calendar link to my clients, but like honestly, before they schedule their date, I've like had them schedule a phone call with me beforehand, and I send over a monthly guide to them that just kind of goes over like what each month offers in terms of different settings and weather and like other elements like bugs, like mosquitoes especially, and flowers, because I feel like flowers has such a big impact on like, especially for seniors, how they pick where they want like their Definitely. Session and stuff like that. So that kind of like gives my clients a really good summary of like what picking a date will look like in different months. And then over like the phone call, when they tell me like what locations that they're kind of looking at, typically what I will do is I will like send them over sessions or locations in certain months of the year based on like what they were looking for. So like if they really wanted, I don't know, like sunflowers are typically August and like September. So I'll send them over. I feel like I don't even like have sunflower pictures in my portfolio really, but I'd send them over a session that had sunflowers in it and be like, this would be a really great spot. I would recommend picking like this time frame of dates. And then that way, when I send over my calendar link to them, they can pick a date that works with their schedule. It definitely works with my schedule because I put it on the calendar system. And then we both get confirmation emails, which is nice. And then it automatically goes into their calendar with Squarespace, which I like. And yeah, I feel like that's like kind of like a in-depth version of how my calendar system works and like picking out a date with a client and stuff.
Yeah, that's so helpful because I feel like a lot of people going into a session are just like, oh, I want a summer date. And it's like summer is basically, I always say summer is like kind of June through like early September. And mm-hmm. that's like a super wide range of months. And to the normal person, summer just blurs together. But for photographers, knowing the landscape each month is so different. Even each like half of each month is so mm-hmm. different. So if your client is like, I really want, if say they booked a date in like July, but they're like, oh, I really want to go to like a field of tulips. You have to be like, that's literally impossible because you needed to book a date in May if you wanted tulips, that kind of yeah. thing. So it's so important to know exactly like what aspects your clients want in their photos to then guide them to help choose a good date for them. And I know in the beginning, especially with flowers, it can be so hard to know what a good time frame is, like month and week wise, when you're first starting out, because you really have no idea what locations look like until you've been to them during that time of year. And it's so hard because it's not really as if you can wait around to be like, okay, we're gonna do like this late July date. I just have to make sure like flowers are here. And then you're mm-hmm. checking a location like the day before their session to see, and like you're panicking and trying to find a spot for them like the week of, which I guess like you could do, but I feel like that really would induce stress on your clients when they're like, I don't know where we're going tomorrow for pictures kind of thing. So it does take a lot of time to build up to be able to really know like what locations are best at what time. So don't worry about it if you're just starting out trying to find like spots and everything. Just take your time. You'll get there. I know it's a lot because I still feel overwhelmed like trying to find new locations. In that aspect, you just never know what everything mm-hmm. looks like in every season until you've literally been there at every season.
Yeah, definitely. And I honestly, I feel like choosing a date ties in perfectly with like the next thing that we have on our list, which is choose a location, because I feel mm-hmm. like location and date go together like like bread and butter.
Yes.
A little rhyme for you guys. But like, I feel like the first 2 years of like your photography journey are huge, because that's like the time that you really need to be going in location scouting like consistently to see how different locations look. Like before I started photography, I didn't know that, like I always thought flowers were pretty, but I didn't know that like roses are only in June. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Like there are so many different things that you learn, or like that the little, I don't even know what they're called, like there's those really pretty purple flowers that are in fields a lot in Michigan.
Yeah.
That are only in like the last week of May and first week of June, or like the leaves tend to change between like the second and the third week, like where we're at. So like there's all sorts of things that you kind of pick up as you go and you get experience. And I think like if you're in your first year or two and you're scouting and stuff like that, use Google and like use Instagram to your advantage. Like there's so many different resources out there, even just like posting in like Facebook groups and being like, hey, do you guys know of a location that offers this during this time of year? If like you're towards like the beginning of like finding your locations that you want to offer to clients.
Definitely. Right. You know, I'm a huge fan of Facebook groups.
Yes.
And that's helpful too if you have a client that's bringing you out to like a side of the state or somewhere that you've never ever been before, and you really don't mm-hmm. know what's in the area and you can't go and location scout beforehand. It's so helpful mm-hmm. to be able to post in groups being like, hey, I have a session in this area. This is what the client's wanting. Like, does anyone have any location recommendations? But I yeah. agree with Dara. The first few years, you really want to be on your location scouting game and like bank a bunch of great locations so that when your clients do book a session with you, you can be like, okay, I have like great locations in mind, like based off of what you're wanting. Here's the ones that I recommend to you, because that mm-hmm. makes you seem so much more like a professional. You are a professional, but they're coming mm-hmm. to you to receive a service. And when you're like going the extra step to say, this spot would be great for you, this spot would be great for you, you just seem like so much more pro. And like you really know what you're talking about, which obviously you do. But mm-hmm. versus like in comparison to, sorry, my dog is right underneath me making noises. But in comparison to you booking a client and you being like, okay, like let me know where you want your photos, like email me the spot you guys want, and like making yeah. them find a location, because that's so stressful. So definitely make mm-hmm. sure you're finding great spots. And obviously if someone has a specific location in mind that's special to them, or they just want to go to a certain place, that is so great. I love when clients do that, when places are special to them. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I feel like that's just so helpful. Location scouting. Oh my gosh. I don't know if you could hear my dog like digging through my plant. I'm so sorry. She just laid down. She should be chill now. But to location scout, just drive around like literally wherever and take pictures on your phone if you like something. So then it'll save like on the map when you go back mm-hmm. to look at photos, and you can remember where specific spots were. Use Google Earth and look on there and see what you can find on Google Earth. Use Facebook yeah. groups, use Instagram. There's so many spots that you can find through all of those. But really, like, I would say try and set a goal of finding like 5 great locations that are all different. And that's such a great starting point to like providing your clients a location. So that would be my tip for choosing a location.
And I also feel like what I did a lot during my first year or so is like I had like when I even do this now sometimes, but when I'm like driving to a session or something, I have my phone set up like in my text messages. So I'm texting myself and I'll send myself my location if I pass a location that I really like. And then I can like go back and I can look at that pin. And I can see like what's surrounding that area once I'm parked, and like really like look and see what's around that area, and like if that's like a public spot or if it's going to be private. And during your like first year, I think or like two, I think getting client recommendations. I remember I did so many. I was like, tell me where you want to go, like that kind of thing. And like now I don't really do that as much, because I pretty much just like, I send people my location guide and then they pretty much pick one. Occasionally I'll have somebody that's like, oh, I really want to go to this spot, or like they want to go to like a family friend's property or something like that. And that is always really, really fun. Like I think it was in my first year, honestly, and this is like one of my favorite locations now, is it was like their family friend's property, and the lady lets me go there. Like she just like asked me to like let her know if I have a session there, like, or if I want somebody that wants to shoot there, and we go. But like definitely like when you get those kind of like things where like you're going to a new spot, I think something that really helps too is like just like kind of like researching the area and seeing like what's around it, or like even if you can like call ahead of time and like ask questions about the location. Because I mean, and I feel like everything just keeps tying together, but like when you're going to choose a time, that definitely makes a difference on like what kind of location it is, because like, which is choosing a time is our next bullet point. But like when you're choosing a time at a location, if I am going to a spot that is very woodsy, we're going to start there first. Or if that's their only location, we're starting there earlier than what I would normally set a time at, just because it's going to get darker because the sun doesn't reach that spot as much. Same as like if you were, for example, like this would not be us because we're in Michigan, but like if you were in like Colorado or something like that where there is mountains, the sunset, even though it says it sets at a certain time, it's probably going to get a little bit darker earlier because that sun's going to set behind those mountains. Or like if you're in a cityscape, the sun might set behind the buildings and then you're going to miss that golden hour because like the sun's not coming through anymore. So that's mm-hmm. something to definitely keep in mind too when you're picking out a time. I always look up which also don't feel like you need to shoot in golden hour. I would say in like your first couple years while you're still like getting used to working with people and shooting in light, different lightings, golden hour is going to be your friend, which is like, I don't know, like an hour and a half within sunset or sunrise. But like once you get comfortable, don't be afraid to shoot midday, because sometimes midday lighting, if you know how to work with it, can be really beautiful and offer like a completely different vibe. So timing of the day makes a huge difference on how the vibe of the photos turns out. Whereas like golden hour is going to be very like soft lighting and it's going to be glowy and it's going to be warm, which I feel like is typically what most people end up wanting to go for. But what I do for my sessions is I'll look up on Google what time the sunset is for that specific location or what time the sunrise is. And then I used to end, like if I had a sunset session, I used to end like pretty much like right at sunset. Now I try to end like at least 15 minutes before sunset, because I don't like, or at least for senior photos, for couples photos, I don't mind ending right at sunset, but because I think the blue hour lighting with couples can add like a really cool vibe. But for seniors, I prefer to end 15 minutes before, because the lighting that I want to give my seniors, I can't really achieve right at sunset or like when blue hour is starting and that kind of thing.
Yeah, sorry, that was so I agree. It is such like a variable between what type of session it is, like if it's a couple session, if it's a senior, a family, it all depends. So definitely account for choosing like what time you want to start the session and what time you want to meet them. Definitely account for where you're like photographing at. If it's a big location and you have to do like a lot of walking around, so many different factors go into it. But really, like the main way you're structuring your session, like to begin with, right after the client books, is choosing their date, is choosing what location or what multiple locations they're going to go to, and choosing what time to meet. That's like the main foundation of building your session that you're going to be sending over to your clients, so that they know what time they're meeting you and where they're meeting you. And then after they have all of that basic information, then you can move on to the more fun stuff, like personalizing their session to make it all about them and really special. So you can do that by sending your client a questionnaire. You can have phone calls with them. You can make collaborative Pinterest boards. You can have them make a playlist that they want played at their session. There's so many different ways that they can personalize their session. Dara, do you want to talk on that?
Yeah, sure. So like honestly, when it comes to personalizing a session, I feel like for my seniors versus my couples, it can kind of vary. Like I do my questionnaire for my couples before they pick a location, whereas with my seniors, I do the questionnaire after they pick their location. Well, I guess kind of like in between them picking their location and date. That one can kind of be interchangeable with seniors. But like when it comes to personalizing the session, I have a questionnaire that I send to all of my clients that kind of just helps me get to know them a little bit more. I also try to make my questionnaire, like, I hope that it adds value to my clients is what my goal is with my questionnaire, not just adding value to me and like the sense of like me trying to personalize their session and make it unique. But I'm hoping that it helps them like learn, if they're a senior, it helps them learn more about who they are or like where they want to take the session or like what things they do and don't like, and like really just being more introspective. And with couples, I really try to like help them grow closer together and like also just like recognizing the unique parts of who they are as a couple. Like, for example, I have them do a love language quiz for my couples, and like seniors, I'll have them like list out like their hobbies or like what sets them apart, that kind of thing. So I think that that's like a really good way for me to kind of get to know them on a deeper level than like small talk stuff. Whereas like when we get into our phone calls, we can kind of do that small talk and get familiar with each other's energy. I think like phone calls are huge just to like be able to kind of understand like how somebody presents themselves, and that makes a huge difference like when you actually get into the session and you're doing like posing and stuff like that. But this year I started doing collaborative Pinterest boards, and I've really enjoyed doing those because I feel like I can see like what their vision is, and then I can run off of their vision to make it also like fit into like different things that I might see. And I always tell them, I'm like, if you don't like something I pin, feel free to delete it. Like, this is still your session. But a lot of I haven't had anybody that was like, oh, like I did not like the pins that you added. And also kind of like, oh, I really like that perspective that you added. And like, remember, like, you're a professional. And like, a lot of people go based off of photos that they see that are like popular and stuff. So like, as a professional, your job is to help bring themselves out in their photos. And I think there's so many different ways to do that. And it's just a matter of like finding the way that you feel is best to like really connect with your clients and make sure that you're knowing who they are before like taking their photos.
Definitely. I love that. I also send over a questionnaire to get to know my clients better as well before their session, because you really can't make somebody's personality shine through their photos if you don't know what their personality is. And I'm so sorry, I have a train that's going by. I have all the background noises today. But anyways, so really getting to know your client is so important for personalizing their session, and even just like choosing a location if they have somewhere that they love to go. If they love spending their summers at the beach and they go to the beach like every summer and they just go and they read at the beach, you can tie in going to the beach and reading. And I like to know if people are planning on bringing any prompts to their session beforehand too, just so I can go into it with a few ideas. So mm-hmm. if a senior is going to bring any sports equipment, if they're bringing their dog, if they're bringing anything sentimental to them, I like to know if a couple is bringing anything sentimental, if they're just bringing literally any sort of prop that they would want in their photos. I always love to know that beforehand too, so I can just get a few ideas rolling before the session. That's really helpful for me. And then I feel like also everyone's outfits really personalize the session. I think I've only had it happen once where I've had a client that wore the same thing as another client. And I was like, whoa, what are the odds of that? Hello. But other than that, everyone always chooses something different to wear for the most part. And so people make their personality shine so much through their clothing, whether they're wearing like a huge flowy dress or like a flower covered dress if they're really girly, or if they're just wearing like baggy jeans and like a little tee. You just make your personality shine so much through your clothes. So making sure your clients are choosing clothes that show off who they really are and helping them do that, because I know that can be really hard when it comes to choosing outfits that are so, or choosing outfits for pictures that are so permanent, because once you take a picture, you have it forever. So there's an mm-hmm. added pressure with choosing an outfit for a photo shoot. And it's just so helpful when you can help them understand how to choose an outfit that will look good in photos, will be timeless, but will still represent who they are in that moment in time. I think that's a really mm-hmm. big thing to help personalize a session. And then just make sure you're checking in on your clients and making sure they're feeling good, ready to go. They know all the information. For me, the way I structure my sessions is I check in, depending on exactly how far out they book their session with me. I check in with them 2 months out from their session, 1 month out from their session, 2 weeks before their session, a week before their session, the day before their session, and on the day of. So I'm all about check-ins, because I just feel like, especially for senior sessions, you're mostly communicating with the parents. And if the parents haven't booked a senior session before, they can be really stressed out and anxious about it because they've never mm-hmm. been through it before. So they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know what's going on. So I think that checking in frequently really, really helps your clients just feel better going into it and helps them know what should be happening at that moment in time. And then they trust you more also. And And it's nice getting to communicate with them like at more points throughout that time leading up to their session, because then you just feel like you have more of a relationship with them going into their session, which is really helpful as well to make everyone feel comfortable once you do actually meet up at the session.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I feel like having check-ins, it's like having like little mini life updates leading up to the session.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is always super, super nice.
It is. I love when my clients will email me out of the blue and be like, I just went shopping. Like, here's some pictures of the outfits that I got. Yes. I'm like, yes, let me see them, please. It's my favorite.
I know. whenever somebody is like, can I send you my outfits? I'm like, you of course can send me your outfits. Like, why would I say no to that? I'm so excited to see them.
I know. I love that. It's so fun. I love when people just like check in with you too about things that they've been doing, or they're just like, I just can't wait. I'm so excited. It's so nice. So if your clients ever do that to you and it makes you feel so great, just imagine how great they feel when you check in with them just to see how things are going. So definitely recommend checking in a lot before the session day. So then we can move into the actual session day, how to structure that. So Dare, do you want to take it away?
Yeah. So typically like session day, well, I definitely make sure that all my batteries are charged. I have like my SD card set how I want them to, like my gear is ready to go. I pretty much double check that like first thing in the morning. So that way if I do, like typically my post-session process is that I do like charge my batteries as soon as I get home. But like occasionally I might have a late night and I forget to like charge them, and I have so many backup batteries, but like I like to have them all charged before session. So I'll make sure that all of those are charged and that I have like time to charge them if not. And then I'll send over a text like just like confirming, like, see you tonight, like letting them know, especially like I feel like day of, definitely like staying in communication, just because I feel like that's when like all the nerves are up, and like it's just like nice to be able to have somebody that's like, I don't know, the amount of people that are like, oh, I'm a little bit nervous, like you can like mm-hmm. be there to kind of help talk them through it and really get them in like a good, confident, positive mindset leading into the session. And then honestly, like from there, like if we do need to reschedule for weather, like typically I wait to reschedule the day of, but if the weather is looking good and sunny, then I like typically like after the confirmation and I hear from them, then we're good to go. And I also will like send them a text just like letting them know when I'm leaving, so like they know that I'm on my way, like that I didn't forget about it, because I don't know, I feel like I would want that on a client end, just to be like, okay, my photographer's ETA is this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. I also text my clients in the morning too, just being like, hey, so excited for today. Let me know if you need anything. And then they know I didn't forget about them, and I know they didn't forget about me. It's a win-win. And
yeah.
Most of my clients have hair and makeup with their sessions for seniors. And so my girls will go get their hair and makeup done. And then after their hair and makeup appointment, I'll meet up with them like at a little cafe beforehand. And we'll just chit chat for like a half hour-ish before we head to our first location, because I feel like that warm-up time is so nice and like so important, because then they feel so comfortable around you once you go and bust out your camera. I always say that I like never want to throw my camera right in your face within the first like 2 minutes of meeting you. It's just such a scary thing. And so even if people don't meet up with clients like at a secondary location before sessions, I always like to at least get to the location a little bit early, and even just chit-chatting in the parking lot for like 5 minutes. Or if you're starting out for your location, like if you have to walk a little bit to get there, like wait for your clients and go and walk with them so that you can just chat while you're walking and mm-hmm. like chat about things other than photos, like just really get to know them more and ask them questions about themselves, and it'll make them feel so warmed up to you and so much more comfortable, and like you're already friends. I always feel like after I'm leaving my session, for literally every client, I'm always like, okay, I feel like I hung out with you last week. I feel like I'm going to hang out with you again this week. Like, I feel like we're really, really friends. And I love that. I actually just had an engagement session this past week. And the poor couple, God bless them, because they stayed for like an hour, hour and a half longer than they were supposed to be there because I just could not stop talking to them. And it was like the first sunny day that I've had pictures on in so long. So I was just soaking up every second, but I just could not stop talking to them because I was like, you guys are my friends. We're friends now. We're going to hang out. Yeah. And it was so fun. And I feel like that's just such a great positive environment, and it leaves them feeling like so great about just the interaction and experience them itself that they're going to love their photos even more. Because if, say, you had your photos taken, but the photographer was rude to you, they were late, they kind of like forgot about you, they called you the wrong name, like just really didn't care, which wrong name thing, I've been there, done that. We're not perfect, but but if you have that kind of experience and you get your photos back and they're the most beautiful photos you've ever seen, you're still not going to be 100% in love with them because your experience with that photographer is attached to those photos. So whenever you see those photos, you're going to still think about the photographer and how rude they were to you and just all of the session vibes that were not good compared to if you have a photographer that's so great that you still like want to hang out with, that you feel like you could text anytime about anything, and you get your photos back and they're beautiful, you're going to be so in love with those photos and they'll be your favorite photos ever. And even if you have a great interaction with a photographer and you get the photos back and you don't love them, you're still going to like them because it was such a great interaction and you feel comfortable enough to express like, hey, I really didn't care like for this in my photos, like whatever. You just feel more comfortable to express any concerns or express really anything. And so I feel like that client relationship is just so important for the whole entire session day to make your clients feel comfortable to then get better like results with the photos, meaning they'll be more comfortable when you're posing them, when they're in front of the camera, and then they'll love their photos even more afterwards because they had such a great experience, if that makes sense. I feel like I just went on a little tangent, but I don't know.
No, I loved it. That was so good. I feel like that's such a true thing too. Like creating a positive experience is always going to outweigh like anything that's like slightly, even just like anything like things that you can't control. Like let's say like it was really humid that day. Mm-hmm. Most people are going to overlook that if you made it, like if you made them feel comfortable and you made it a positive experience. And I feel like not shoving your camera right in their face or like kind of just like talking them through things and like talking up to it and just creating a relationship outside of the camera is huge. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think another great way to like calm nerves and stuff too for most people, like some people, I always kind of leave this up to the clients, but I feel like playing music and stuff too. Like if you're playing somebody's favorite music, like I guess the best way to like think about this and put it in like a real life example mode is a wedding. Like weddings that have like great music and stuff like that, or like music that you really connect to, everybody's always like, oh, it was a great wedding. Like I feel like music is always what ends up like making it.
Definitely.
And so yeah, I feel like if you have like a music playlist that makes you feel confident, or like if you're a senior, or if it makes you feel like lovey-dovey if you're a couple, like that's like such a great way to set a mood for the session. And then like when you hear those songs, then you're like, they're connecting that music back to that experience. Like, oh my gosh, I listened to this song during my senior photos. And it was like, it felt so magical, like walking on the beach at sunset and this song was playing, like that kind of thing. And I feel like that's like, I feel so many businesses use that, even like when you go into a store and it's like scents and music and like like just like appealing to like people's different senses, that's a great way to create like emotional connection to different things, especially like something that you can't really control the environment, but you can control like how music makes them feel if they enjoy that too.
Absolutely. And I feel like it's a good bonding point too, because then you can talk about music with your client, being like, oh, mm-hmm. I've never heard of this person, or oh my gosh, I love Taylor Swift too. And then it's so much fun. And it gives you more insight to who they are as a person as well, which is always nice, because the more insight, the better.
But oh, definitely.
Also, just like reading the vibe of your client at the session when you're posing and prompting them on what to do. If you're someone that's anxious about forgetting like a pose or blanking and going to pose a client and you're just standing there like, and can't think of what to do next, I suggest having like 5 go-to poses or prompts just like locked in your head for every session. Like, you know, you can always fall back on like these 5 things, and go and start with that like standard pose that you have memorized, and then just go and tweak it a little bit, whether it's just like moving their arm a little differently, like putting their leg somewhere else, literally the smallest adjustment, and then you might get some more inspiration flowing. But also, like, while you're doing that, if you can read kind of the vibe of your client, you can tell when someone doesn't like something, when they feel uncomfortable or they feel like they're being awkward, or whether they feel confident and they're loving like what they're doing. And then take that information and then go more towards in the direction that they're liking. And then just kind of like match their energy. If I have a client that's really excited, I'm really excited. But then also, if I have someone that's more like shy and reserved, I won't match that energy, just because I'm going to be like so hyped, like not overly, because I don't want to scare shy people. I'm also a shy person in a lot of situations, but just hyping people up and making sure like your energy is like good and all of those like just good things, like radiating all the positivity, that'll really help the session go so much more smoothly. If you're just like laughing, joking around, hyping them up, like reading their vibes, if you just observe someone and just look at the way that they typically put their hair, look at where their hands usually are. Do they like to put their hands in their pockets? Are their hands like playing with their hair a lot? How do they walk? Do they like sit in a certain way? There's just so much you can learn posing wise while just observing your client. And that's also a great way to personalize their session, because if you're paying attention to their natural mannerisms, then you can pose them in their natural mannerisms, and then their photos will also look like them. So that's also a great thing as well.
Yes. And I feel like a really good way to like keep the positive energy up is never tell somebody that they're doing something wrong in terms of like a pose or a prompt. Mm-hmm. Like, if I ever like see like that a pose isn't working or something like that, like if you can just tell that like their body language is off, like they don't feel comfortable in it, or like it just like is not working with the environment or something like that, I always like will snap a few pictures, and I really want them to switch sides, but like they naturally went to the other side. I'll be like, and I like already gave them like the pose instruction or the prompt instruction. I'll be like, oh, like I explained that wrong. Let me like try and re-explain this. Because don't ever like put any pressure on your client that like they're doing something wrong, because at the end of the day, like you're the one that's in charge of directing them, and you're the one that's like, you got to take ownership of like if they don't do. So
definitely,
that's a great way to keep like the energy going positively too, and also like redirecting things if like a pose isn't working, and then in the future like kind of staying away from that pose if you know that it didn't work great for them.
Yeah, that is such great advice, because can you imagine if you were getting your photo taken and then someone's like, you're doing that wrong or that doesn't look good. Like, yeah. I would want to go and cry. So
yeah, I don't always... like, no, like, not like that. You did it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, okay, sorry.
Okay, I'm going to leave now.
Yeah.
I always tell clients at the beginning of their session, I'm always like, I promise you cannot mess this up in any way. Like, there is no way you can mess anything up. Everything you do will be great. So yeah, just blame everything on yourself. And really, your client is truly perfect. So I believe that.
I take away all the responsibility too at the beginning of the session. I'm like, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'm going to tell you everything. Like, I'm going to tell you what to do. Like, don't worry about it. I'll tell you how to, like, where to put your hands. I'll tell you, like, where to put your feet. I don't want you to, like, worry about it. And then I'm like, and if I ever am, like, looking at my camera for a while, it's probably because I'm, like, changing my settings. So, like, don't feel like, oh, my gosh, she didn't like that photo and she's figuring out how to redo it or something.
Yeah, definitely. And then really, like, the only other thing for the actual session day that we would suggest would be to make sure if you're at a location that's, even if it's a small location, just make sure you're moving around that location to different spots so you can get so many different backgrounds and just such a great variety of photos within that one location. I feel like it can be so easy to get stuck in one spot, especially if the lighting is really good in that spot.
Yeah.
But just make sure you're moving around and, like, keeping things going. I feel like that makes the session time fly by too, which if your client is nervous, that could be a good thing for them. And then once the session's over, they'll be like, oh my gosh, that felt like it was 10 minutes because you're constantly on the move, which is nice. Just getting a variety is really nice, especially if you have a session that's only at one location. And if they're wearing multiple different outfits, you can have so many different looks just within one spot if you just kind of move around. Even if you're staying at the same spot, but you move yourself.
Angles.
Yes. Yeah. If you just change angles and just go to, like, the other side of them and just, you know, go in a little circle and see what looks good from right where you're standing, I think that's a great thing too to make sure you're focusing on doing during your session.
Yeah, and I think a great way to prep for, like fully utilizing a location is, like, getting to the location earlier, going there, like, beforehand, and just walking around, getting a layout in your head of, like, spots would make for good photos and good lighting. And also, don't forget, like, I feel like, I don't know, I don't even remember when I learned this, but sometimes you might see, like, photographers doing it, just stick your hand up towards the sky and see where the light falls on your hand. That is, like, a foolproof way to check lighting. I feel like it never hurts me. So definitely do that.
Yeah, that is a great tip. You literally just hold your hand out in front of you and spin in a circle and see, like, where your hand looks the best, and wherever it does, that's the direction you'll take your photos in.
We feel like this was a really great episode to kind of, like, get started in busy season as it is coming up on us. And I hope that it added a lot of value to you guys and that you could really gather a lot of information from it and maybe, like, take some little chunks of it and use it in your future sessions or in session planning even.
I love that episode too. I think it was so great in just learning in general how to structure a session for whatever type of client, whether you're just starting out or if you're years into your photography journey. But make sure you guys follow our Instagram at Overall Thoughts Podcast to follow along so that you know when episodes are dropping and so that you can submit stories for our story time episodes, which we have a really fun one coming out next Wednesday that we're excited about. So make sure to stay in tune with us and follow us there. And we would love it if you would rate and review our podcast. That would mean the world to us also. And we'll see you next week for more of our overall thoughts.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. And we hope that you have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.